Hello and welcome to week 8 of Gridiron Gurus. I'm Travis Lazarczyk alongside Evan Crawley for the Kennebec Journal and Morning Sentinel. And Evan, it is the final week of the high school regular football season. And let's jump right into it with one of the big games in the Pine Tree Conference Class B, one of the oldest rivalries in the country, Coney Gardner.
Yep, it's rivalry week. And, you know, when you have a rivalry that has spanned over a century, you know, there's going to be ebbs and flows, ups and downs. In the last 3 years, it's tipped towards Coney's way. 76-14 win 2 years ago, 41-0 last year. The Rams have gotten the better of the Tigers and certainly stronger this year. They come into this game at 3-4 into the playoffs. Gardner has played better as of late, very competitive against Hamden, crushing loss last week. Same thing with Lawrence. They were right there with them.
Right.
But they come into this game with just one win on the season. But they're going to look to be competitive. I mean, don't expect this to be, you know, a 41-0 game or something like that. Gardner should be able to move the ball. They've made some strides. You know, Josh Farron has emerged this season as a solid running back for them. They got a couple good receivers. Colby Spencer has had good chemistry with quarterback Eli Kropp. Watched them yesterday completing a couple passes. They're looking to be on the same page, as is Caleb Karen. Coach B.L. Lippert from Coney said, you know, Karen's a guy he's keying on with coming out of the tight end position and catching passes. Also as a linebacker, he's a standout for them. On the Coney side, Coach Joe White of Gardner was quick to point out Reed Shostak. I mean, Shostak's gone over 400 yards in these past two games combined.
Right.
He's a threat to go over 200 again in this game. And he's a difference maker out of the linebacker position as well. Around him, Coney's got some weapons. I mean, guys like Isaiah Swan in the secondary are going to have to be prepared to stop some bigger wide receivers. Coney counters with, you know, Anthony Brunel.
Sure.
Goes about 6'3", maybe 6'4", on a good day. Chad Bickford has emerged as of late, caught some passes. Nigel Davis has been solid for them as well, and he's been pretty good slinging the ball around. So, you know, Gardner will certainly be up against it, but, you know, like the old saying goes, you can throw records out the window.
Sure. What does this mean to Coney's playoff chances? Win or lose, they're in, correct?
If, you know, from my math, which, you know, you can tell my – I'm sure my high school teachers would tell you what their what my math skills were. But as far as I see it, they're in regardless. The only thing that can change is their seeding.
Sure.
If they lose, the winner of the Lawrence-Messalonsky game could jump them. The only reason they're necessarily in regardless – is Coney A has played a stronger schedule than both Lawrence and Messalonsky,
right,
and B owns head-to-head wins over both of them.
Sure.
In the event it came down to a coin flip situation like that.
Yeah, Coney not playing Nokomis, who's winless in
yes.
the league this year, helps them in terms of the Crabtree point standings.
Yeah.
Looking at the game that has big playoff implications for both teams, Lawrence at Messalonsky, they're both 3-4, and the winner is going to get either the fifth seed if Coney loses or the sixth seed if Coney wins. This is a playoff game at Messalonsky's Veterans Field on Friday night. Lawrence, coming off of three consecutive wins after starting the season 0-4, playing much stronger. They looked really good in the third quarter against Nokomis on Saturday, with quarterback Braden Ballard throwing three passes that quarter, three touchdowns. Their run blocking has gotten a little better. And they're just looked like a more confident overall team than they were in September. October has been a great month for the Bulldogs. Messalonsky, on the other hand, is kind of fighting some injuries. Jack Bernache missed last week's game. He's one of the leading rushers in the conference. Missed last week's game after injuring his foot against Skowhegan the week before. Not sure if he's going to play. It sounds like he's going to give it a go, but you know, how much can he run? Yep. How much of the load can he handle is the big question mark for the Eagles. And then Colby Dexter, another strong runner for them, evidently broke his nose in the game last week against Brewer. So he'll also be a question mark as to, if he plays, how much can he go?
Yep. Now, Travis, you look at those three other PTCB games. With all due respect to Hamden and Nokomis, you can't like their chances really against Brunswick and Brewer respectively.
Right.
So that kind of falls to the Mount Blue-Skowhegan game as that one that seems like it could really indicate where the top half of this playoff bracket shakes out.
Yeah, let's just assume that Brunswick beats Nokomis and they hold on to that number one seed where they are right now. Skowhegan has to beat Mountain Blue. Skowhegan 6-1, Mount Blue's 5-2. Skowhegan has to win that game to stay as the number two seed. If they lose and Brewer were to beat Hamden Academy, Brewer will leapfrog them into second place, get that second bye, and Skowhegan could even drop to fourth you know, Mount Blue and they are both 6-2. It all depends on that strength strength of schedule. Skowhegan didn't play Hamden Academy, and Mount Blue did not play Messalonskee. So that Messalonskee-Lawrence game could come in to the Crabtree points there. Skowhegan, I mean, you've seen him a few times, just looks so strong lately with Garrett McSweeney. I think he's up to 22 touchdown passes and one interception on the season at quarterback.
The quarterback position, I haven't seen anybody better in this conference. You know, you think just a junior, you wonder if he's only scratching the surface on his potential. I mean, the zip he has on the ball, he throws those slant routes over the middle. He's got a ton of receivers there.
Right.
I mean, he's spreading the ball over to 6-7, sometimes 8 guys.
Yeah.
You know, he's really picked apart some teams this year.
Yeah, and he's proven that he and the Skowhegan Indians can run the ball as well. Like, they dominated with the run game against Messalonskee a couple weeks ago in a very important win. Mount Blue, coming off a tough loss to Brunswick, played pretty close with the Dragons. It was a 4-point game late into the fourth quarter until, you know, Brunswick scored one last touchdown to put it away. The question for them will be Christian Whitney. He missed last week with a concussion. I was told that he had been cleared, but because he hadn't practiced, they elected to hold him out. You gotta expect he'll go this week, giving the Mount Blue Cougars a little more depth in the run game, and if they can control the ball and maybe play keep away from the Skowhegan offense for a little bit, they'll have a chance to win this game.
Now, we're talking about rivalry week, another long-standing rivalry, the Battle for the Bridge.
Right.
Winslow at Waterville in the Big Ten Conference, obviously on different ends of the spectrum so far this year. But again, you know, a great storied rivalry there.
Oh, yeah, it's not like it was the last 2 years where these teams met in the regular season and then met again in the conference championship game. They've played 4 times in the last 2 years, Winslow taking 3 out of those 4. This year, Winslow is playing for the number one seed in the Big Ten Conference. They're 7-0. Waterville, not playoff bound. A lot of new faces on the team this year, a young team. They're 2-5. The big thing for Waterville is, according to Coach Matt Gilley, is just fundamentals. He said, you know, Winslow, it looks like they're doing a lot of fancy stuff, but it's really, you know, basically a wing tee offense. They just run a lot of formations, but they're running like the same, you know, basic set of plays out of just various formations. And it can get confusing to a young team like Waterville. So he's just said, you know, focus on the fundamentals. For Winslow, they're really close to breaking a school record for points in a regular season. They are 13 points shy of the 384 scored by the 2006 team. They don't care. I talked to them yesterday. And Mike Savisky, head coach, who's been there for more than 30 years, and some of his senior captains. So that's nice. If it happens, it happens. But they're focused on, you know, making a run towards another state championship.
What does that say about the Black Raiders, though? You lose a dynamic weapon to graduation like a Dylan Hapworth, and they've come back, and they've been even more explosive.
Yeah, you lose a Dylan Hapworth, who's a 4-year starter at tailback. You lose a 3-year starter in Bobby Chouinard at quarterback, and you lose another 3-year starter, Justin Martin, at tight end slash receiver. And they just plug in new guys. Jake Trask, who was a receiver last year, moved from that position over to quarterback, and they haven't missed a beat. Junior Nate St. Haman moves into the tailback position, and he's, you know, got 800 yards, and he's a game-breaking play on, you know, waiting to happen every time he gets the ball. Dylan Hutchinson slides in at wide receiver, and they just keep moving. Trenton Bouchard's back at the wingback. Kenny Ricard's back at the fullback. They've got guys like Alec Clark and Nat Beckwith back on the offensive line. The big thing for the team is Mike Savisky's like, yeah, the offense is scoring a ton of points, but he returned 8 out of 11 starters on defense, and these guys have only given up 27 points all year and have had 3 straight shutouts.
The only other game in our area for the Big Ten, Madison at Herman. Can't imagine Herman you know, doing too much there. They've had a bit of a tough season.
Madison, they're going to the playoffs. If they win and Belfast were to lose at Oceanside, Madison could host a first-round game in the 5-4 game. Looks like they're going in at either 5 or 4 and probably playing Belfast either way.
Yep. Switching down to the Campbell Conference Class D, interesting, plenty still to be decided here. Booth Bay travels to Winthrop Monmouth. The Ramblers win, they'll be the 2 seed, which would be huge. That way you know, not that conference, it hasn't been, you know, 1-5, that conference has been great this year, but you don't want to see Oak Hill before you have to.
Exactly.
And you get the 2 seed with a win there. They're also aided in the same way that Coney is in not playing Nokomis. Winthrop Monmouth has not seen Telstar this year, who's looking like they're going to go winless. So they've been aided by that that boost. Oak Hill, speaking of the Raiders, they're traveling to Trape this year. I imagine the big thing there is they just want to get out of there healthy. They got the top seed. No matter what happens, they're 6-0 going into the game. The one that's going to really impact a lot is Dirigo at Marinacook.
Sure.
Lisbon plays Telstar. Hard to imagine the Greyhounds losing to win this Telstar. So depending on what happens there, if Marinacook wins, they could host Dirigo in the first round of the playoffs. So they could have two straight games in Reed Field, Dirigo at Marinacook. If they lose, it's looking like Dirigo, who was in Oak Hill's position last year, having the extra game on their schedule.
Right.
They'll bump up to the 3 seed, and Marinacook will travel to Lisbon, which was not a great place for them just a couple weeks ago. Tough loss to the Greyhounds for the Black Bears.
Should be a pretty interesting way when that all shakes out. Much deeper conference than the Little Ten conference, which is Class D North. MCI traveling to Bucksport this week. MCI 7-0 and has number 1 seed. Pretty much wrapped up. It's a rematch of last year's conference championship game. Bucksport, though, at 3-4, needs to win it to get into the playoffs. If they lose and Holton were to beat Stearns, the Golden Bucks could slide out of the playoff position and be home for the first time in a long time. I can't remember the last time Bucksport missed the playoffs. Big game for Mount View High School, who's 5-2. They're hosting Washington Academy. Mount View can actually go from out of the playoffs last year to earning the number 2 seed in a bye. If they win and Monocacook Academy were to lose to Orono, Mount View had back-to-back big wins over Bucksport and Monocacook, both on the road to boot. So the Mustangs really probably the most improved team in that league.
Yeah. Well, that'll do it for us this week. Thank you for tuning in to our Gridiron Gurus podcast. Be sure to check out Central Maine Sports Online, Maine Today, or check out centralmaine.com. Plenty of great high school content on there and much, much more.
And we'll be back next week and we'll be looking at the playoffs.